Hey, 9 weeks ago, we began a series called The Sermon on the Mount. It has been 9 weeks, can you believe? I'm going to do a real quick recap. So 9 weeks ago, we saw that Jesus came onto the scene in a spectacularly unexpected way that had already been described in the Bible. So it wasn't really unexpected, and yet it was. And it fulfilled all of the prophecies that were spoken about him. A virgin engaged to be married is to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And her fiancé, a righteous man, Joseph was a good guy, wanted to back out. And he wanted to back out not just because he was angry, but because it was the right thing to do. If you know the Old Testament law, his actions to back away from the marriage was actually the right thing to do, okay? But then an angel came to him in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." It's really important to remember that. He will save his people from their sins. So Jesus was born, and after a few, you know, running around stuff, he grew up in a town called Nazareth. And after his baptism and temptation in the desert, he began to preach. And point number two that I really want you to hold on to this morning is he started to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as we read on through Matthew, he began to call his disciples to follow him as he went around proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing sicknesses and diseases. He would have been an amazing person to follow. The thing he was doing would have been incredible, just watching people that you know for a long time have been crippled, blind, sick, and he was healing them, and these people's lives were changed and transformed. He created quite a stir, and the massive crowds began to follow because he was amazing. And as he saw that, he goes up onto a mountainside and he began to teach those who were following him the way of the kingdom. And he started with defining who was blessed, which was really, really surprising. It wasn't the rich and powerful. It was the poor and the meek. And then he started to define what role his followers were to play in the world, to be salt and to be light. And then he comes in and says, and he proclaims, "I have not come to demolish the law. I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets." Everything that we know of in the Old Testament, I have come to fulfill. We then read what that looked like. Six times Jesus says, "You have heard it said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. Anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. You've heard it said, do not break your oath, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, love your enemy." Love your friend, hate your enemy. And six times he says, "But I tell you." And he goes on to explain what those laws actually were about and how to fulfill them. Jesus then challenges his disciples to not do their religious practices to be seen by others, but to give, pray, and fast in secret, to do it for the Father alone. And each time he says, "And what is done in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." He's encouraging us, don't be religious and just to be seen, do it in secret, be genuine about it, and God will reward you. He then challenges those listening to this sermon to store up treasures of heaven and not to worry about the pursuit of things that have no eternal value. This is not just about money, but also things like stature and fame and your position in life. Don't chase after a worldly understanding. Chase after and store up what God says is important. And then he comes to the passage that we are looking at today. Jesus is coming to the end of this teaching, and he's now going to address what I think is one of the biggest challenges that humans face. Even if you master the rest of what I've just very briefly summed up, this next bit can be the most challenging thing to get on top of. And so if you've got your Bibles, we're starting at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, don't you love the honesty of Jesus? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Alrighty. I'm going to slow down a bit now. Is that alright? Just wanted to cover a lot of ground there. Do not judge. Who here ever judges others? We all do, don't we? Not necessarily outwardly, but inwardly. You know, as I've been reflecting on this for quite a long time, actually, and I realised that I'm a really judgmental person. I've just am learning to catch it really, really quickly and not let it be the thing that rules me. But I would say that out of all of the teaching that Jesus has said so far, this is the one that is the most challenging. Because this is the one that I hear most people say, yeah, but we are to judge. And we quickly jump to other scriptures that say, teach us what to judge. We're quick to counter it. But what I want to focus on is that Jesus says here, do not judge, right? So rather than quickly trying to weasel out of it, and find excuses or reasons as to why we're allowed to, is let's just listen and wrestle with why he says do not judge. Now, to help us to understand why he says do not judge, we first have to read it in context. And the context is the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. And in the context of repent and believe the good news. Jesus has come to save his people, and he's teaching them to repent, and he says, do not judge. If you look all the way through the Sermon on the Mount, this incredible teaching that all of us, while we're at church anyway, would go, man, it's awesome. I don't know if we always believe that in the day-to-day of life, but it is an amazing teaching, isn't it? But Jesus is addressing the things that we do in relationship with each other. Most of it, maybe all of it, is about understanding that the law is meant to lead us to right relationships with God and with each other. See, if I hate others, it breaks down relationships. That's what I've learned. If I lust after woman, it distorts what God intended to be good into something yucky and messy. If I divorce simply because I get bored with my wife, I destroy the trust and intimacy that is needed for us to experience what God intends for good marriages and good community. If I make an oath but never intend to honor it, I add to the reality that we don't trust each other. How do we trust each other if none of us are actually being honorable people? If I exact revenge every time someone wrongs me, we create fear about getting it wrong. I never want to make a mistake because you're going to come after. So maybe if I do nothing at all, then that won't happen. And so we end up being this isolated community. And if I hate my enemy, I think it simply contributes to the divisions and the dysfunction of the community. And I don't know if you look around, but I think there's a bit of that going on at the moment, isn't there? There's a lot of it going on, not just in our community, but in our nation and in our world. And I can't help but think, you know, if everyone listened to what Jesus was talking about and understood the depth and put it into practice, our world would be a very, very different place, wouldn't it? Now, it's complicated. No, there's no simple solutions in many ways, except maybe to come to Jesus and let him rule. See, if I give to show off, I disrespect the dignity of the one who's in need. If I do it without love, if I pray to be heard by men, I'm actually no better off than the pagans who do not know God. And Jesus talks about the pagans, they're just going off and it's irrelevant. They're talking to nothing. They're pretending that. But actually Jesus says, if I'm praying as a Christian and I'm praying to make you guys impressed or to think well of me, I may as well be a pagan because there's no point to it. Praying to you for your impression, for your good words, it's irrelevant. I need to pray to the Father that things would change. Fasting. If I fast to show others how religious I am, it's about as effective as putting a plaster on a severed leg. It just makes no difference. And if I spend my life pursuing earth's treasures only to see them taken away, destroyed, and miss the things that are truly valuable, or if I live life worrying about things that are not the main thing, then we miss life. We miss what life's about, and we actually miss life. And Jesus is saying to the Jewish hearers in this audience, in this passage, he's saying, repent. Change, because instead of a wonderful example of heavenly community here on earth, which is what Israel was supposed to be, Israel were actually no different to the nations around them. They were just as selfish, they were just as ugly as the pagans that they despised. And perhaps the biggest problem of all was that they thought they were better. And they weren't. And it's in this context that Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, it will be measured to you. Why does he say do not judge? Because they were a people that had learnt to judge. They did it a lot. In fact, I would argue they were taught to judge. They were taught to judge others and to stay excluded from those that weren't good enough and all that. And they were suffering as a nation from the consequences of being a highly judgmental society. Now, let me ask, how many here have been judged by someone? Okay, all of us, yeah. So to a degree, we all understand. And I've lost my place completely. There, here we go. How did that make you feel? Did it lift you up? Did it encourage you? Did it make you go, man, I just want to be... No. What did it make you feel about the person who's judging you? Did it draw you to them going, oh, I want to hang around you. I want to open up my life to you. I want to... No, it doesn't. Does the action of judging encouraging you to go back to that person next time with your concerns or your questions or your worries? No. See, judging destroys relationships. See, when I get judged by someone, I'm less likely to go back to that person for help. I'm less likely to open up and be real about what is actually going on for me. I'm less likely to be honest about my thoughts, my beliefs, the realities of my life, and I find that I will say what I think that person wants to hear, and they miss out on the real me, and I miss out on real community. Did you notice when you read the Bible that Jesus seemed to spend a lot of time in the communities that the Pharisees had judged were sinners? He connected with the people on the outside of the system, that felt judged and condemned by a mindset that if you broke the law, you were condemned to hell and therefore worthless. We're going to have nothing to do with you. He spent time saving people who were told that if they couldn't get it together, they were a waste of space. And unfortunately, it is easy for church communities today to become no different to the people that Jesus was speaking to. Our focus on living the right way can become so distorted that we completely miss the point of what God intends for humanity. And the outcome is tragic. Some people simply walk away from church because of the judgmental behaviors that we exhibit at times. Many people choose to stay, but they learn to put on a religious veneer that appeases the shallow but heavy demands of religious expectation. Because people become afraid of being real and finding real solutions to real problems, and then that community is actually worse off because they think they are free, but they're actually just under a different form of slavery. And I hope that's not our church. And so I hope it's not our church, but I know that sometimes it is, if we're honest. And I know that sometimes it's me. I can be judgmental. I like to think I catch it, and I like to think, but I do know that I'm not yet perfect and I'm working on that. And so I think we need to listen to Jesus here and what he says, do not judge. And I want to encourage you to not quickly go, yeah, but to go, okay, what is he saying? What is he getting on to here? He goes on here, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all of the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. This is the loving, kind, uplifting Jesus that we all like to worship and praise, okay? You hypocrite, he says. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Do you know what a plank is? A plank is a large collection of pressed together, stuck together, joined together specks. What Jesus is saying, your huge pile of specks that you should be dealing with should be your focus before you worry about just the one in your brother's eye. We don't need to get super spiritual here, I don't think. I think what Jesus is saying is something that's very, very human, something we all really understand. Stop calling out others' small faults while you've got heaps to sort out for yourself. How many of you love a hypocrite telling you to sort your life out? Of course not. But of course, we're not the hypocrite, are we? It's always everyone else. Right, yeah. And I think what Jesus is saying, I know what Jesus is saying, is if you see something in someone else's life that you think should change, pause. Hold your horses back up a bit and just consider what is going on for you. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. A hypocrite is an actor, someone who pretends to be someone that they are not. And what I think what Jesus is saying is so often we come over, Fiona, you need to sort out while pretending that I don't have those issues going on. You know, and that's the religious nature, is that I'm awesome, you're the problem. And if you've ever been in that place, you know what's really going on, don't you? You know that. And after a while, if you begin to understand that there's just hypocrites there, you'll eventually walk away. Because who wants to follow a system where people that are in charge don't actually believe what they preach? How many want to be tied up with a religion where the preachers, the pastors, the leaders, the religious experts say one thing but live something else? And that's what Jesus constantly challenges believers. He actually said to his believers, do what the Pharisees teach. just don't do what they do, because they don't actually do what they teach. And he said, you need to be more righteous than the Pharisees. You need to do to take it further. And this is what he's getting into here. Now, if you think, now I'm going to put this onto you, and when I say you, I mean us, all on me as well, okay? If you think you don't have much to address, then I just want to point you to a little list that we've just been through over the last 9 weeks that Jesus is speaking about. How are you doing in your anger toward others? How are you doing in your lust toward others? How are you doing when it comes to separation for petty issues? Well, how are you doing about not being true to your word? How are you doing demanding your pound of flesh when somebody else wrongs you? Etc., etc., etc. How are you doing? Have you got a plank that you need to be working on while worrying about the speck that you see in someone else's eye? It's a massive challenge that Jesus has got here. Well, maybe I could put it this way. How often have you thought as you're listening and going, Royce, you are amazing. It is such good teaching that you're doing. But I wish so-and-so was here listening to this. How many of you are going to your husband or to your wife, or how many of you going home going, you should have heard what Roy said, he was talking to you. You know what I mean? How often do we do that? You know, I think those people really need to hear this message. They need to stop being hypocrites. But we forget to look at ourselves. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? But I think Jesus is saying here, look at yourself. Don't be someone that tells everyone else to do the very thing you refuse to do yourself. That is simply hypocrisy. Be aware of your need, my need, our need for repentance. Change. Something has got to be different. Otherwise, we are just a religious version of the world. And we're fooling ourselves. We come in here and we all sing lovely songs, powerful songs, but are actually no different to the world if we continue in these things. And Jesus has come to set his people free. See, blessed are the poor, poor in spirit, he says. Blessed are those who recognize their need for forgiveness, their need for a life change, their need for transformation. Because when you recognize that need, you're going to come on your knees and go, Jesus, I need you to break every chain. I need you to highlight every chain. I need you to lead me in working on these things. And we get to do that as a community. We get to come alongside some other people who will help us in that. But it will never happen if we don't trust each other. And if we're judgmental hypocrites, we will never find the freedom that we're supposed to live in a community. Because if I don't trust you with the deep secret things in my life, how will they ever be exposed? How will I ever find freedom if I can't come alongside others that are going to help me find that? So how does your life measure up to what Jesus has been saying in this sermon? It's not about judging your life, it's about having a true and go, actually, yeah, I do hate people, I do get angry, and I do keep myself distanced from. Some people are just hard to live with, aren't they? In fact, life is easier if I don't have certain people around, right? Come on, let's be honest, right? Some people are harder to get along with. But what I've observed is most people have got friends of some kind, and they're probably thinking the same thing about you. Actually, maybe you're the one that's hard to get along with. Maybe you're difficult to spend time with. I mean, I don't experience that, of course, but so I have to throw those in every now and then just to make sure you're listening. Okay. See, if I look at myself, I'm going, why wouldn't people want to be friends with me? Because I'm awesome. I mean, the way I look at the world is just right. You know, every perspective, of course it's not. That's why we need each other. But we need to come alongside each other, even when we'd rather not, and learn to walk together well. Anyway, we all need to work on ourselves while encouraging others on the journey. And Jesus, we need to sort out our issues in a healthy kingdom way, because first of all, we're free, but then we are free to see clearly the things in other people's lives. And now, this is not about waiting till you're perfect. This is not about waiting till you've got it all together, because that's not going to happen this side of eternity. But Jesus is saying, if you're willing and active in addressing the stuff going on for you, you will see much more clearly what is happening for the other person. You'll be able to work with them on their spec in a healthy, life-giving way, and they'll be willing for you to do it. Yeah? If somebody comes along that is non-judgmental, that is really concerned for you, loves you, and wants to see you set free from whatever that thing is, you're more eager to do that, aren't you? And that's what the church should be. We should be people that are, it's not that we never get alongside, we never help each other, we don't talk about the issues that are there. We've just got to do it not in a judgmental attitude, but in a loving and helpful way. And so Jesus goes on in this passage, and he says, do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. And what I find is a lot of people go, ha ha, so we do need to judge them. How do you know if someone's a pig or a dog? And you're all eager to hear my thoughts on that, aren't you? Right, let's start the... No, just kidding. I think what Jesus is saying here is what he's trying to get at is we should... It's not who we should share truth with and who we shouldn't. What he's saying is we need to be wise in how we encounter other people, being aware of our own reality and being aware of those that we're talking to, being aware of those who may take what you say and turn it against you and actually do damage. Pigs and dogs are terms that Jews would use to describe those outside of the covenant family of Israel. They were people they didn't respect or even like. It was terms that they used, kind of disrespectful, but those people that couldn't treasure what we have. And so Jesus is using terms that are familiar to his listeners. Does he think people are dogs and pigs? He did say to a Syrophoenician woman, I'm not here to give the food to the dog. So he kind of was, I think what he's saying is here is he's using language that his listeners understood. So before we jump on, I find in this passage, most people jump on the, you change, and they jump on this going, okay, who are the dogs and pigs? Who can I avoid? Who do I? It's like, no, missing the point. What he's saying is actually some people are not in a place that are ready to receive the good stuff that you've got for them. And we need wisdom to know when to dive in and when not to. And Proverbs 26:11 says this, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. It's disgusting, isn't it? You think of dog goes, wah! Ooh, dinner! Sorry, stick to the script, sorry. No, but it's a really, revolting thought, isn't it? Oh my gosh. It's true though, it's true. And what I think Jesus is saying here, what the Proverbs writer was saying is be discerning in who you are talking to. Be aware of where they're at. Don't give the deep truths of the faith to someone who says that they reject sinful behavior 1 minute, but then just turn around and live a life like that anyway. That's a dog who goes, wow, that's disgusting. Whoa, I think I'll like a bit of that. You know, people are like that sometimes, aren't they? If we're really honest. And I think that's kind of who Jesus is talking to. Now, please don't go away and go up to you, oh, you're a dog, because Proverbs 26. But that's, he's just trying to indicate. And to be honest, if we're really honest, aren't we like that sometimes? It's easy to point that and judge other people, but we're like that at times, and God will never give us the treasures of his word if we don't value what it is that he's got for us. And so we will always miss out. It's not that God's withholding because he wants to. He just knows we're not in that place where we can actually treasure it and use it for what it's meant to be for. We need to wait for these people. We need to come alongside them, but we need to wait till they're ready to receive what is sacred with reverence. And so it's not that you'd never have anything to do with them, but you walk carefully, wisely, waiting for them to come to a place where they recognize their need to change and they genuinely want what we have to offer. They genuinely want a journey with Jesus and they want to go deeper with him. And that can be hard, but that's where patience comes in. Now, pigs. What do you know about pigs? Pigs eat anything, don't they? And I think what Jesus is saying is here, be cautious about who you share the valuable things you have learned, because some people will listen and maybe even agree, but they just chuck it into the mix with every other teaching that's going on around. And they'll go, oh, that's kind of nice, and we'll utilize that, or we'll utilize this. And they'll just mix it in with everything else. And they don't value it either. They don't treasure it for what it is. And I think what Jesus is saying is that dogs and pigs is be wise in how we interact with others. I've observed a lot of people, sometimes they'll come, they'll have an amazing transformation of faith, and they'll immediately go out and try and force it onto people around them and go, I've come to understand, you need to understand. And they can't always understand why people won't treasure it like they do. Well, you just got to realize people aren't in the same space as you. And while your desire might be that they come to the same place as you, those people get to have, they get to journey that for themselves. And so we've got to be wise and go, how do we put Jesus before, encourage people and challenge them in their lifestyles without damaging relationship and forcing something that they don't want to do? It's not our job to make a decision to come to Jesus for them. It's their job. Our job is to love them and desire that they may come to know. Does that make sense? So how do we know when to point out someone's fault, when to keep quiet, when to speak up, when to share what is precious, when to step back, when to just sit, wait patiently, when to just, you know, let people go? How do we do that? Well, Jesus goes on. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And Jesus carries on. He says, just as we would give our children good things when they ask for it, how much more will our Father in heaven good things to those who ask him? Do you believe God is good? Do you believe God is generous? Do you believe God wants to give you good things? Then ask. Now, this is not a name it and claim it directive. This is not a prosperity gospel reality. Jesus is not saying, hey, come and ask me for $1 million because I can't wait to give you $1 million. He's not saying that here. Look in the context. What he's saying is, if I want wisdom and how to deal with somebody, I just need to come and ask, and God is eager to show me how to do that. The problem is sometimes I think he gives us the wisdom and we go, nah, we know better than that. We go and do it our way. We've got to learn to listen and to trust. See, God loves to give wisdom. He loves to give hope, loves to give guidance for our interactions. And sometimes it's as simple as saying, God, what do I do here? What do I do with this person that's in front of me? How do I respond? Sometimes we might need to read scripture. Here's an idea. Found scripture really, really helpful. Does anyone ever read Proverbs 26? You know how further earlier in the sermon we're not allowed to call people a fool, right? Nine times in Proverbs 26 it describes fools. Anyway, bit of aside, Proverbs 26 is an interesting collection of statements about how to deal with challenging people. Don't get caught up in the fool. It's a description of someone that's hard to deal with. But if you read Proverbs 26, it's a really interesting and gives you some insights into perhaps how we can walk with people. So sometimes you can just ask, sometimes you can read scripture, that's the seeking, and sometimes we just need to ask a question or make a statement to the person that's in front of us. And what I've learned is often the other person's response will tell me all I need to know about how to move forward. And so I've learned to develop some wisdom in how I interact with people, and I've learned to ask some really good questions that will inform me of the next steps to take. Does that make sense? I can tell quite often when to go forward and when not to. I don't always get it right, but I'm getting it more and more right the older I get and the more I try it. And so sometimes you've just got to try. But God wants us to grow. And so let's come to him and let him ask us how to interact with each other. And so then Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount with a conclusion statement. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. No matter how educated you are, no matter how experienced in faith you are, no matter how clever you think you are, think about how you would want to be treated if you were in this person's situation, and then do that. That's what Jesus is saying here. Think about it from the other person's point of view, the other perspective. Put yourself in their shoes. And imagine how you would feel if the statement you're about to say would feel if it was coming at you. Think about how you might feel if you were to receive the very words you are about to unleash on the person before you. Would it be something that you would appreciate? So often we put people in boxes. We do it without even thinking about it. We judge people when we say, well, you're this or they are that, or you know, we just go, oh, they said this, therefore they must be. And we believe we understand the person when we really don't. We don't understand their journey. We don't understand their circumstances. We don't understand their personality, the experiences they've had. And we often, I would say more often than not, misunderstand what we're actually confronted with. And so when Jesus says to others what you would have them do to you, it doesn't mean, well, I would like chocolate syrup on my ice cream, therefore you must like chocolate syrup. He's not talking like that. He's talking about that. What would I like? I would like to be heard. I would like to be understood. I would like to be appreciated for who I am and where I'm at. I'd also like to be corrected for my wrong, but I'd like to know that it's coming from a non-hypocritical perspective. Would that be fair? We'd all want that, don't we? And this is what Jesus is getting at here. So it's not saying we shy away from it. We just have to have massive wisdom in how we walk with people that, let's face it, we don't understand each other. And if you have any questions and think that what I'm talking about is wrong, I just challenge you to go onto social media, any platform, for about 5 minutes. And I guarantee you will see this reality amplified untold times. If you spend time on Facebook or Twitter or Rumble or Telegram or whatever platform you like to spend time on, how many people go, here's a statement, oh, could you help me understand what you mean? I don't quite get it, but could you? No, we don't read that, do we? We get people going in, Liz gets annoyed with me, but I read the comments more than the article or whatever, and I'm going, how on earth do people go down these, you know, they make assumptions and stuff, and I'm like, oh my goodness me, thank goodness I don't do that. It challenges me because I do that. It's so easy to jump in and make assumptions. And I would argue our world has become more polarized through the reality of social media and internet. as we label and box people we dislike while ignoring the mountain of issues we ourselves need to work through. And so next time you find yourself confronted with someone you find yourself judging, just pause. Just stop for a moment and think, what would it be like to be in their place? How would I like to be treated if I were them? Would I want me to rant at how bad I was? Would I want me to unleash my thoughts and hear all of the stuff knowing that they're completely missing the point? Would I want me to judge myself and to label me like that? I'm labeling them. Would I really want that? Or would I want me to listen and to take the time to understand my journey? And how would I want me to walk alongside me to find freedom from the things of my life? Maybe just stop and do that. Jesus says, do not judge. Instead, do to others what you would have them do for you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Does that work in reverse? If they've done something bad to you?
Jesus is talking about you. How are you going to judge? I'm not responsible for how people treat me. And if they treat me badly, I'm responsible for how I respond to that. And so when people treat me badly, what do? Number one, I judge it, and then I respond accordingly. And what Jesus is doing here is challenging us, is are we contributing? Now, that's not to say we don't get involved. It's not to say that we don't have opinions. It doesn't mean that we don't recognize wrong and all that. But what I'm just trying to do is focus on what Jesus is saying here in this context. He's talking to a community of people that were very judgmental while being completely oblivious to their own shortcomings, their own failings, which have been repeated over and over again. If you know this, the Old Testament story of Israel, slow, slow learners. Thank goodness we're not like that, eh? We learn from history, don't we? So it's easy to jump and go, yeah, but what about? And if one thing what Jesus is saying, stop. Let's look at ourselves. How are we functioning? How are we judging and being? Because ultimately, there is a judge. There will be a judgment. And we might not have our report card in the way we think it is. There's some warnings in there. Even Jesus said, there's an example, he's teaching his disciples later on, he says, if somebody rejects my words, I don't judge them. There is a judge for that. So even Jesus, who is, we know he is sitting in the judgment seat now, but when he was here on earth, he says, I'm not here to judge, I'm here to save. And so for me, I take seriously that I'm not the judge. My job is to have a heart for people and to see people saved. And the wisdom that I need to go, how, when do I push on that and when do I sit back and when do I... I need the Spirit of God. I need the wisdom of God. And I would argue we all need it. And so I'm not saying don't ever get on social media. Don't. What I'm saying is stop and think about who we're called to be and how do we engage that in a healthy way. Not leaving behind our thoughts and perspectives, but to realize there's people, and people are involved, and often we do more damage than help, even though we think we're helping, but all we're really doing is just being very satisfied and unleashing our anger. And we do a lot more damage than, and we wonder why people won't change. Because, we're right, aren't we? It's a difficulty when you're always right. It's hard to understand why other people don't change. So I'm going to get the, you guys have just messed up my ending. No, that's all right. I'm going to get the music team to come up, and I want us just to sing this song, I Speak Jesus. And I want us to think about who are we in this world that we live in that has got so much division, so much difficulty. Our nation, our neighborhood, our families, sometimes our own person. We have conflict and difficulty in ourselves. We don't like ourselves. How often do you think, why do I keep doing that thing that I'm trying to conquer? You know, sometimes we need to come right back to that place, and maybe we need Jesus to release us from the chains of whatever that is before we have any right to really speak into what's going on. So I'm just going to pray before we start to sing. So how about we sing? Stand, sorry. And I'm just going to pray. Father God, we just come to you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that your plans and hopes and dreams and desires for our world are so much greater than what we see. There is so much division in our nation and in our world. And it's so easy, Lord, for us to judge and to condemn those that we disagree with or whom we misunderstand. Father, it is so tempting to fight others to win so that we get our way, and yet we are so unaware of what we lose in that process. And so, Jesus, I pray that you will help us to come to you, to submit to you, to lay down our lives. Father, that we would come and ask, to seek and to knock on your door, to come to you for wisdom and what we are supposed to do in any given situation. May we understand, Lord, that you will judge at the right time in the right way. May we be open to what you are wanting for us to do in this time. It may not be the thing that's most obvious to us, but Lord, give us the wisdom to see and hear what you're doing. May we be open to allowing you to help us to be your people, your representatives. May our eyes see the deep things that are going on in our communities, in our nation, and even in our own lives. And may we help to bring your kingdom into the difficulties and the relationships we see in our world, our personal relationships, our corporate relationships, and even our political relationships. Father, we speak Jesus over our lives. We speak Jesus over our nation. We speak Jesus over all that is happening, all that is going on. Lord, teach us, reveal yourself to us, and reveal the way forward that each one of us has to take in the days, the weeks, the months, and the years ahead. Amen. Thank you.